If you would, take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 4. This evening, I've got a short sermon for you. Yeah, right. It's like, got one amen and at least a few, yeah, right. All right. I really do. There's not much here at all. Of course, there's never really much there. That's because there's not really much up here either, so at least what I've been told. It just happens to fill up as we go, but that's the danger of it all. And but Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5 through verse number 9, we're going to look at something that I think is important for every child of God. It's what we oftentimes miss. Many times it's the failure we have. It's dealing with wisdom and wisdom's rewards. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we fail to implement wisdom in our life. And I want to show you through what I believe are some very clear scriptures here, a very simple understanding of where wisdom comes in, but there's also two other elements that Proverbs talks about. And I'm going to show you, we're going to look a little bit in Proverbs, but then we're going to go over to 1 Samuel 18 as well. So just we'll get there in just a minute and look at David and some things that David received as rewards for being wise, just for exhibiting some wisdom. But I'm going to build a case to start with, and this I'm going to do it very quickly, all right? Because I don't think there's a single person in this building that's not tired. And so we're going to look at this, Lord willing, do it swiftly, and get what the Lord has for us this evening. But Proverbs chapter 4, I'm actually not going to start in verse number 5. I'm going to go up and I'm going to start in verse number 1. And I believe you get a better layout of what's being done here. Okay, verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." And we'll stop reading right there. You see the importance of wisdom. And a child of God should live a life exhibiting wisdom used on a daily basis in decision making, in dealing with people, in everything that we do. There should be a level of wisdom applied. But wisdom is not by itself. Wisdom, I believe, is sandwiched between two other elements, and we're going to look at that tonight, and then we're going to look at the rewards we get when we apply wisdom to our life, and then we'll, I believe, have what the Lord has for us tonight. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will look in deeply what the Lord has for us this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, again, to be back in your house. Thank you for those you brought back safely that can be here tonight. I pray for those that are unable to be with us. I pray that you'd watch over them, give them the encouragement they need as well. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look at your word, that you would give us exactly what you'd have and nothing more, that you would, Lord, help us to focus in on this area of wisdom, and through it, Lord, we might learn something that we can apply even this week as we go out into a world that doesn't know much about you and oftentimes reject you, but that we might, through the wisdom of God, as children of God, be able to represent Christ well and draw others to, Lord, a desire that they might know what we get to experience on a daily basis, and that is a personal relationship with Christ. And I pray that you'd help us as we look at this, do only what the Holy Spirit can do, what we cannot. We just give you this opportunity, Lord, to work in our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. So, Proverbs chapter 4, we saw a couple of things here, and let me build a short case for you, right? So wisdom, I believe, is, I guess you could say it this way, but it doesn't really go well. Wisdom's like the bologna in the sandwich, okay? It's not bologna, all right? So Don't go, but it's the meat. Let's put it that way. It's the meat in the sandwich. Some of y'all like bologna, some of you don't. We were raised on bologna. I'm not going to get too far on that, but we went, one point in our life, it was breakfast, lunch, and supper. And if you don't, and if you're wondering why I don't eat bologna any longer, there's a reason for it. Let me give you a little, I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second just for the fun of it. I remember growing up, since mom and dad are here, they'll remember this. We had canned surprise nights, and my dad worked the grocery section of what would be kind of like here Publix, and so what was it? Brookshire's, and Brookshire's grocery, and he worked the shift there, and also pastored a church, and so he was bivocational at the time, and they would have the outdated stuff and the dented cans, the stuff that was all messed up that you couldn't do. And you took the labels off so that you could send those back and you'd get credit back in the store for it so the store didn't lose everything. But then what are you going to do with all the cans? They're full of stuff. And problem is the labels are now gone. And so he would bring home, it was like Christmas every time this happened. He'd bring home big banana boxes full of, sometimes even full of pudding and different things like that. But often it had a whole bunch of these silver cans that had no labels and nobody thought to take a marker and write on there for us what it was. So it could be anything from, you know, canned beef stew all the way down to dog food. You never knew what was in it. And sometimes it was hard to tell the difference even once you opened it. And you open that dog food, you open it up, it's like, all right, this is for the dogs? What? It actually looks pretty good. It's got the meat and carrots and potatoes and all that kind of stuff in there. It's like, surely not. But we would open it up, and what we'd do is we'd every single night, there are certain nights we'd say, you know, canned surprise, that's going to be supper. And so we'd go there, and we had this whole shelf full of these just cans that you couldn't identify what it was, and everybody would go and pick one. And the joke was, whatever you picked, you had to eat. I don't think we ever stuck to that when it got really nasty, but not totally. My brother, on the other hand, he probably would have done it just because. Jared had a habit of doing really dumb things. But that's a story for another time. But we used to have a lot of fun with all the cans and stuff. Now, I don't know how in the world I got there, but I'm going to get off that story and get back to the wisdom part, okay? But we used to in everything. My dad would always he always told my brother. I think I told you this before. Always tell my brother that it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Then oftentimes he followed that up with, "Son, you're removing all doubt." But the biggest problem that we have as Christians is like we have when we're little kids. We oftentimes would just blurt out and do things or say things without thinking. And we would just speak our minds and then afterwards wish we had kept our mouth shut. Especially if you had parents that would discipline you. And every time you opened your mouth, you said something dumb. And so there were times that you would learn the wisdom of thinking first, speaking second. Put your brain in gear before your mouth goes in gear. Oftentimes, my brother was accused of his mouth being in gear while his brain was in neutral. But I love picking on Jared. He's not here to defend himself. Okay, and that's okay. He does it to me at his church too. I found out because they tell me. But when it comes to a child of God, I'm talking about the meat and the sandwich. That's what it is. Not bologna, but it's the meat and the sandwich. Wisdom is the meat. What are the two pieces of bread? If you're going to look at this meal that we can have in what God gives us to use wisdom, okay? So you start off here in chapter 4, verse number 1, and all the way down through verse number 4, he uses the word instruction, good doctrine, law, all these different things, and in verse number 4 it even says, "He taught me also." And so, and deals with also with commandments. So every single bit of that would be on the area of knowledge. You see, wisdom by itself is ineffective because it really, wisdom is something that gets applied. It's not something that by itself is of any usefulness unless you're applying it to something. And so wisdom is there to be applied to what? Knowledge. Knowledge comes first. You learn. You're instructed. You're given the ideas of what is right, what is wrong. You're given the ideas of how to accomplish something. You know, it's kind of like this. We go to put something together that we bought. And there's an instruction book. And half the time, who needs that? That's right, Brother Salim. Who needs that? Instructions. I'm a guy. I know how to do this. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. Y'all know. Ladies, this is your opportunity to nudge, okay? But, yeah, there you go. Got it. But here's the thing. We have an instruction manual that if we take that instruction manual, which gives us the knowledge of what we need to put together the item, and then we apply wisdom to following that instruction manual, then we end up with the last area of it, which is understanding. See, understanding is not there. It's not a reality until wisdom is applied. See, knowledge gives you ideas, but you can know a lot about something and not really truly understand the whys or understand how this is done. Okay, yeah, I know that there is a bar, there's bolts, there's screws, there's this, there's that, there's washers, there's all this different stuff. And I know that when put together, this is going to make something usable. And so I have knowledge of what it is I'm trying to accomplish. I've even got a picture. That's what we go by most of the time, right? We have a picture. It's going to look like that. How many times, fellas, does it look like that when you do it by yourself? Close. I just got a few extra screws left over. Okay, who needs those? Those are the extras, right? Until it falls apart. And it's like, oh, that's what that was for. But here's what happens. We have a picture of it. We know what we want to see. We know what it's going to look like. We know that the screws and the bolts and all the different stuff that's there are all pieces and parts to bring it together. So we have the knowledge of what we're wanting to see. The wisdom is to read the instructions to put it together right. And the understanding is, in the end, oh, that's why you got to do it that way. You ever had one of those epiphany moments where you're trying to put this thing together and you fought it for 30 minutes to an hour and then all of a sudden, might as well look at the manual. And so you go and look, it's like, oh, I missed a step. That's why it won't work. If I go back and fix that one part, wow, everything falls in place. What is that? That's called understanding. Knowledge, wisdom applied, equals understanding. And the same thing is true in our daily walk. Sometimes it's hard to understand why things are done the way they're done, or things are happening the way they're happening, or what it is that we're going through. And yet, when you have knowledge of what's going on and you apply God's wisdom to what you know, down the line, it equals an eventual understanding of what God's trying to accomplish. And so it is important. Some people say, well, you know, you don't need to have all this knowledge. Everybody's all important. It's just all about knowledge and knowledge. And, you know, got to have this and got to know this, got to know that, got to get your degrees, got to get. And listen, I'm not saying that it's important that you get so overly educated that you don't have any common sense, okay? Education is important, though it should not become so important that it becomes everything in our life. But if you don't have education, if you don't have the knowledge needed, then what do you have to apply wisdom to? So education, yes, it's good to get an education, not just in reading your Bible alone, but hey, it's good to get extra education if you have a chance to take some Bible courses or chance to listen to a good Bible teacher and he can give you some more knowledge about God's Word, because the more knowledge that I can be given from, listen, sometimes different angles of Scripture. A preacher, the Lord gives him a different view on a verse or a different way to look at a particular passage. And you look and you think, well, I've never heard it that way. Well, at least listen. If it's not heresy, at least listen, because it might be the Lord can show you. This is a living book, which means this book can constantly be adapted, which God adapts it, to the need for the moment. And it might be one verse, the same verse you've read 15 times has applied to your life in 15 different ways. because God brings it from every different angle, but he's applying knowledge to his word, giving us the knowledge so that then we can take the wisdom that he gives, and through that wisdom, we can eventually get understanding. It says, we read it there, and now I'm going to move on, but it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It starts off with knowledge, the instruction given. It goes to wisdom. It's what you apply to instruction, which equals, in the end, a result of understanding. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 2, just a few chapters over, and let me give you this, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel, and I'm going to give you three things that I believe David experienced because of using wisdom to some knowledge, and through that, an understanding of what God was trying to accomplish. But Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 11 very quickly. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, here's the instruction, here's the knowledge, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, that's listening, and apply thine heart to understanding. So you're putting wisdom in there, and then you're getting an understanding of what's going on. Verse number 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So what is the whole focus here of applying wisdom to knowledge and to receive understanding? The whole point is to understand the fear of the Lord, is to understand more about the God we serve, is to understand how he operates, understand what he's trying to do, his love and his desire to see us grow. You begin to have a higher and even a deeper respect for who God is in our lives and the fact that, boy, we're lost without him. And we begin to understand that, listen, doesn't matter what goes on, doesn't matter what happens, he is the great teacher of all teachers, and he will impart the knowledge we need and then help to give us the wisdom that needs to be applied so that in the end we can come to an understanding of what he's trying to accomplish in our lives, whether through the good times or the hard times. Verse number 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Boy, isn't that an encouraging thought? Preserveth the way of his saints. Hey, listen, God's got a hold of you. He's got control of the situations. He's not letting go. It might feel like you're floating off, but listen, he's holding on to the lifeline. He's still got a hold of you. He's not going to lose you. He preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is present unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. You say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on right now, but I'm just going to let you teach me a little bit. I'm going to allow you to give to me the wisdom you desire, and I'm going to use that wisdom applied to the teaching you've given me, the instruction you've laid out for me. I'm going to apply wisdom so that in the end you can reveal to me an understanding of the path you have me on, and the things I'm facing, and what it is I'm going through, because in the end, you are molding and shaping and making something that I don't understand, but in the end, I have ability to understand when I get to look back and say, you know what? God taught me. I let him give me the wisdom, and I applied that wisdom to what I've been learning. It's been tough. It's been hard, but in the end, I'm starting to see a little bit of a hazy picture come in. I'm starting to see a little bit of a form of what God is doing. I'm starting to understand a little bit why I've gone from point A to point B when this is not the way I wanted to go. I'm starting to understand what God's trying to accomplish a little bit at a time. But in the end, it's the knowledge God wants to teach, it's the wisdom God wants to give, and it's the understanding that God wants us to have. That's the whole purpose. And then we get to look back and say, you know what? It's because I need to have a healthy, not a being afraid of the Lord, but a fear of a reverence for who God is and what he is for me. Now, let me give you this, and we'll be done. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let me show you some things that happened. Three things that I believe David received because God had already taught him some things. He applied the wisdom that God had given him, and through using wisdom came to an understanding of what he was searching for, but it wasn't quite the way he thought he was going to receive it. I'm just going to skip down to the verses. Now, this is a time frame where David is no longer, it says that Saul in the first part of chapter 18, Saul's no longer going to let David go home. He's going to keep him right there. This is the point at which David and Jonathan bond, as you might even say, kind of like soulmates in the sense they were as though they were brothers, blood brothers, but yet they weren't. And so this is where the friendship bonds between David and Jonathan and all that takes place. This is also the same passage where Saul begins to fear David because he sees things in David that he's missing, and he knows it's only a matter of time before things change, and this young man is going to be a threat to my kingdom. But all this takes place. Here's three things that he receives. Verse number 5. I believe you see here, because he applies wisdom, he has some practical acceptance. Everybody's looking for acceptance. Everybody wants to be accepted and everybody to want them around and respect them to a degree. Now watch. So you have verse number 5. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. So he's instructed to do things. And behaved himself, what's that word? Wisely. He has his instructions. Now he applies wisdom to his instructions. And it says, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was, here's the word, accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now how in the world did he come to an understanding of acceptance, actually getting to see himself being accepted by the people around him that God said, you're going to be king over one day? He got the acceptance that he needed because when he was given instruction, he applied wisdom and through it got an understanding of what it takes to be accepted in God's timing and in God's way. So verse number 5, he has a practical acceptance received because as a reward for using wisdom. Verse number 14, I believe you see that he gets the privilege of a personal walk. Verse number 14 says, and David behaved himself, there's that word again, wisely in all his ways. Now here's a beautiful part. And the Lord was with him. Now what is the one thing that Saul did not have? Saul did not have a walk. And we dealt with this one of the services before. Okay, I can't remember when it all runs together. I don't remember when I preached it. But what was Saul missing? He was missing that personal fellowship. He was missing that personal walk with the Lord. Saul did not have what David was receiving. How was David getting this promise that, hey, it is automatic for David that the Lord was with him? Where did that come from? It came from David applying wisdom to the instructions he already had. God had given him instructions, and so he wisely carried himself and made decisions based on the wisdom God had given him, and because of that, it brought about a promise of a personal walk, that the Lord would be with him. Listen, there's not a single child of God in this room, I believe, that would claim, well, I don't really care if I feel like the Lord is with me every day. If that's the way you feel, if honestly you would say, it doesn't really matter to me if I feel like the Lord's with me every day, then you have a little bit more of a checkup to do, and you better do it quickly. Because when it comes down to it, every single one of us, as a child of God, it is literally the essence of our life to know that God is with us and there's nothing between me and my Savior, because when it comes time to make the right choice, I need His wisdom to be able to apply it to what I know. I need His direction to be able to apply it to the way that I know that I'm in and the place that I'm going, because in the end, I may not have control over where I am, but I can have a hand in how I handle where I am. God can give me wisdom. I did not ask to be here. I didn't ask to be in this conversation with people. I didn't ask to be dealing with this issue, but I'm here. The best I can do is let God give me some wisdom to apply to my situation so that through it down the road, I can look back and say, oh, now I understand why I was where I was, why God put me there, and thank the Lord He gave me the wisdom to handle it right so I could eventually understand the purpose. If we don't handle things right where we are, we'll never reach the point of understanding. We'll look back and we'll... People for years, and you can watch it, and you see many different people, they get bitter over situations. They get angry at God over situations. You want to know where that comes from? And I'm not pointing fingers. This is just across the board for every single one of us. Bitterness and anger towards God comes from an inability to allow God to give us the wisdom to apply to the situation so we can reach an understanding. I refuse the wisdom of God because I'm angry about where I am. This is not right. This is not fair. And so therefore, forget this. God, I'm just walking away. Instead of allowing Him to teach and give us the wisdom to apply, we walk away from what He's trying to do, and we look back and we never reach an understanding. And so therefore, we get bitter over it because God did me wrong. God did my family wrong. God didn't put me where I was supposed to be. God didn't give me the job I was looking for. God didn't give me the money, the house we were praying for. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And everybody talks about how God answers prayer. He never answered mine. Listen, we all get there if we're not careful. And we get there when we fail to allow God to give us the wisdom to apply to the situation so that we can reach an understanding. So He had a personal walk, a benefit, a reward, you might say, for using wisdom. Lastly, verse number 30, it says, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more," there's that word again, "wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that," now watch, "his name was much set by." I believe he received practical acceptance because of wisdom applied. I believe he received a personal walk and a promise of a personal walk because wisdom was applied. And then I believe he received a powerful reputation, something he could not have given himself. It had to come from God. He received a reputation, and it says that his name was much set by. In other words, it was lifted up. And this is the point at which you start seeing the people, as the women begin to sing the praises of David and say, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. See, it wasn't David lifting himself up. David just used wisdom and showed himself to be wise beyond his years. And God gave favor in the eyes of the people. And not only was he accepted, he became to the people the man to follow. He became to the people as though he was even better than the king that they served. He was better than Saul. And Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. David's just this little squirt. And yet God used David because David was willing to let God give him wisdom, and David applied wisdom to the situation, and therefore, because of that, God said, "Since you are willing to apply the wisdom I give you and you're willing to live by the wisdom I lay out for you, I'm going to show you what I can do for you down the road, and you're going to understand why I'm bringing you through the things I'm bringing you through." David, you're going to understand why I'm doing things the way I'm doing things. And in the end, if you don't let God show you, you'll never have the understanding you're looking for. God has got to reveal that. But the only way God can reveal an understanding is if we use the wisdom He gives us to apply it to the situation, the instruction, the knowledge we have. I know what I'm going through, okay? Let God give you the wisdom to deal with it properly, so that down the line you can look back and say, wow, that wasn't fun, but man, look what God did. Look what He taught me. And sometimes we want to look and find those things where it's like, you know, God just moved in and just completely changed everything. And boy, look how God proved. Listen, sometimes God proves Himself in small ways. Sometimes God proves Himself in ways that if we're not paying attention, we'll completely miss. Because it's often not in the great wind or the thunder or the lightning. Sometimes it's in the still small voice that He's trying to show us, I've still got this. I'm in control. You understand where you're at. Well, you know where you're at. I'm going to give you wisdom to handle where you're at. And then down the road, I'm going to show you the understanding I have of the big picture, not just the little individual pieces that you're seeing. Eventually, He gives us the ability to step back and say, wow, I didn't know that's what was being put together. I didn't know that's what God had planned. Sometimes we go through those valleys, those down times, but it's because God wants to teach us, give us some instruction, so that He can then impart to us, hand to us the wisdom to apply to the instruction, so that later on He can step us back and say, now let me give you a full understanding of what it is I've been trying to accomplish. And since you let me do the work and you let me guide you and help you, you can appreciate now the understanding of the whole matter. You can appreciate what it is, the picture I've been trying to paint in your life. Many people miss the end result of understanding because they have knowledge, but they fail to let God give them wisdom. When a child of God fails to use the wisdom of God, don't expect to ever have the understanding of God about the matter. It's important. Wisdom is the meat of the whole thing. You start with a piece of bread over here. You have some knowledge, some instruction. Wisdom is applied, and you finish it off, and you got a complete sandwich. You have a complete understanding of where God brought you from, how He helped you through, and what the whole purpose was in the end. And it can be applied in many different ways, not just in the troubled times, but it can be applied in everything we do, every decision you make, every person you're talking to. Lord, give me the wisdom of what to say to this person, because I don't know what to say to this person. It could be in witnessing to somebody. You have knowledge of what the Bible says, but Lord, I need the wisdom of how to relay this to somebody else. And it might be you say some things completely opposite of what you ever thought you would say in giving the gospel, but in the end you come to find out it was exactly the way that person could understand it, and the only thing you can say is, God did that. I felt like I tripped all over myself, and yet they said, boy, that was the clearest presentation I've ever heard. I know what I need to do right now. And all of a sudden, you're like, what? From me? I felt like I stuttered and stammered and tripped and made a complete mess of it all. And yet God said, that's okay. You were letting me take care of it. And so therefore, I made sure that what you thought was a mess ended up being exactly what they needed. I used you because you were able to be used. The key is, wisdom is important. Apply wisdom to what you know, and when we apply God's wisdom to what we know, we have an opportunity of receiving understanding that only God can give. I encourage you this evening, don't let your decisions be made based off of secular thinking or based off of common sense to man. Make sure it's what God wants you to have. Make sure it's what God wants you to do. Use the wisdom of God. Rely on His direction, because He's painting a picture with your life, And he wants you to allow him to make the strokes. He wants you to allow him to do every single piece of it so that we can look back and say, wow, what a pretty picture that he's painted. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for allowing us to be in your house.